We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report for December 16, 2009. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later this half hour, we'll have cash grain analysis with Matt Blaisdell of the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana. In agricultural news, the U.S. and China are fighting in Copenhagen over commitments to stop global warming. We'll have this and other stories this half hour. And Todd Gleason will look at U of I research on alternatives to petroleum-based products. It's all on the Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Wednesday afternoon, futures settled like this in Kansas City. March wheat, 5:30 and a half up four. May, 5:42 and a quarter up four. July, 5:54 and three quarters up four on the day. March wheat at CME Group, 5:37 and a quarter up a half. May, 5:50 and three quarters up three quarters. July, 5:61 and a half up one and a quarter. March corn, 4:10 and a quarter up two and three quarters. May, 4:21 up two and three quarters. July, 4:29 and a half up two and a quarter. September, 4:35 and a half up three and a quarter. December, 4:42 and a quarter up four and a quarter. January beans, 10:59 and a half up four and a half. March, 10:67 up five. May, 10:73 up six and a quarter. July, 10:77 up five and three quarters. January soybean meal, 3:16.90 up 10. March, 3:13.10 up 70. January soybean oil, 40.33 up 69. March, 40.75 up 70. December live cattle, 82.12 and a half up 2 and a half. January feeders, 92.85 down 17 and a half. And February lean hog, 66.82 and a half down 60 on the day. And those are today's settlements in Kansas City and Chicago.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Taking a look at AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Keezer's two-state forecast, he says tonight in the north, partly to mostly cloudy. In central and southern sections, clear to partly cloudy. Lows ranging from 8 in northwestern Illinois to 23 in the south. Tomorrow in the far north, mostly cloudy. Elsewhere, mostly sunny. Highs ranging from 27 in far northern Illinois to 49 degrees in the far southwest. Here is Ed Keezer's extended two-state highlights. He says dry weather is expected through Friday morning. A clipper system will bring some light snow to much of Illinois and Indiana late Friday into early Saturday. Some places may pick up an inch or two. Colder air will arrive next week. Snow may occur in the Ohio Valley on December 23rd into the 24th on the northern fringe of a system that will be bringing a lot of rain to the Delta and Southeast.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon, Dave.
What a wild ride it was. After lunch, I noted that wheat made new daily and weekly lows. We had lost export demand from Egypt, France, and Russia into the marketplace. But U.S. getting none of that. And then also we saw, I think, as the session wore on and we got closer to the Fed announcement, short covering.
Yes, and I think, you know, if we were a basketball team, the first team fouled out and we had to play the second team. And we still had an exciting finish. A couple of two things I wanted to really hit on, and then we'll talk about what you're saying is, the Informa numbers this morning on hogs at the end of the month, total hogs and pigs down 3.2%, kept for breeding down 4.3%, and market hogs down 3.2%. And the other final one on the Informa group, they're going to come out on Friday, I assume at 10:30, with their annual summary of acreage update on Friday. And one analyst anticipated that their wheat acreage would be down 2 million acres on planted acres, and they'll be playing with CRP acreage coming into production of 4.2 million acres, and that will be creative. But as you mentioned, the market was very creative today. The market opened a lot higher than we anticipated. The market went up, and we did see a lot of trading. We saw some unusual things in the bean spreads, and then also a sell-off, a pretty good sell-off, and then a good quick rally in the close. If I was guessing, with the dollar strength now and the weakness in the metals, we probably wouldn't have closed with as much gusto. But, hey, that's part of the guessing game between now and 6:30 tonight.
So at 1:15 this afternoon, the Federal Reserve comes out with their announcement, and they reaffirmed the pledge to keep benchmark rates, quote, exceptionally low for an extended period. But then in almost the very next sentence, they say that the economy has, quote, continued to pick up and that deterioration in the labor market is abating. So they're being dovish and hawkish at the same time. What do we make of this?
Well, thank goodness that's true. And, you know, thank goodness we're starting to see some stability in the marketplace because, you know, reflecting on the end of the year, you know, we've had to live through Madoff and we've had to live through a financial crisis with the Lehman Brothers and some other big Wall Street plays that were mostly unprecedented in modern history. And still, the you know, the commodity markets and the financial markets continued to be successful and functioning because, you know, there were certain times in this last year there was some monumental challenges for those exchanges to operate.
Well, what the traders decided was, looking at the charts, is that they're going to play the hawkish side. In fact, the dollar today bounced off the 100-day moving average, and then and actually on the chart, and I do have delayed here, but has made for the day new highs.
Yeah, the wonderful thing here too is that with these high-priced crude oil, high-priced gold and silver, and you know, a pretty high priced soybeans, you know, in one respect it's encouraged production, and most generally when they show a picture of a gold mine, they have three end loaders running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Instead of slowing the production down, those gold mining companies speed it up. And I think the same message has been sent, you know, unfortunately, to South America. And we understand that those bushels have been increased. And, you know, unfortunately, the message probably been sent to the Ukraine and Russia as far as wheat production is concerned, too.
When you look at March corn, are you of the opinion that if we can just get through this level that we've been hitting up against for, if you look at a chart, several sessions, which is around the 413, 415 area, if we could just push through there, we would make a quick try at the 425 and better?
Yeah. Well, my opinion is that corn's going to be a follower, and it's going to continue to be a follower for quite a while. And that's based on the idea that there's these enormous corn piles that we have to work through. We're going to be working through corn harvesting for another 2 weeks anyway. The demand from the ethanol exports, feed, industrial use is going to be just rather, you know, slow. And it's not like 1973 when we saw the Soviet Union buying everything we had in sight, or something unusual as far as new Chinese demand. What we're finding is the Chinese are learning how to manage their grain reserves to kind of cushion these price spikes. So it's going to be an unusual thing in our event that I think will push those corn prices up to those levels. Now, we all know $4 cash corn is a cheap commodity, but we are bidding that price for, you know, April, May, June, July time frame. So that's a marketable commodity, but I'm sure our 80% of our listeners out there would like to have a little better premium than that.
Anything else before we let you go?
Have a profitable day, and it's always nice talking to you.
Thank you very much. That's Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He is in Oakland, Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Lernard Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
In agricultural news, in a showdown between the world's two largest polluters, China accused the United States and other rich nations yesterday of backsliding on commitments to fight global warming, and the top American envoy declared the U.S. would not change its offer on cutting greenhouse gas emissions. The energy talks in Copenhagen so far have been marked by sharp disagreements between China and the U.S. and deep divisions between rich and poor nations. China and other developing countries are resisting U.S.-led attempts to make their cuts in emissions growth binding and open to international scrutiny rather than voluntary. The U.S. has offered a 17% reduction from 2005 emission levels by 2020. That amounts to a 3% to 4% cut from 1990 levels, the baseline year. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack is downplaying his own department's analysis of U.S. climate change legislation, saying yesterday that more current studies do not foresee carbon-capturing trees taking over millions of acres of farmland. USDA analysis says up to 59 million acres of pasture and cropland could be converted to woodland by 2050 under a cap-and-trade system, but Vilsack says, quote, "I think there are other models that are more current and complete that might lead to significantly and will be significantly different conclusions." Vilsack pointed to a November 11th report by a University of Tennessee think tank that says bioenergy crops could blossom under a cap-and-trade system and would not shift cropland to forests. A pair of lawmakers have filed a bill seeking to settle discrimination suits filed nearly a decade ago against USDA by women farmers who were denied loans or otherwise discriminated against when trying to use USDA services. The case, now known as Love v. Vilsack, was named after one of the original plaintiffs, Rosemary Love, a Harlem, Montana farmer. In 1998, a government investigator found that Love had been subject to unfair treatment, but USDA has never resolved the case. House Agriculture Appropriations Subcommittee Chairman Rosa DeLauro has announced legislation to settle the cases and create a $4.6 billion fund to make payments to those whose cases are proven. The U.S. Senate has approved a provision to facilitate cash sales of U.S. farm goods to Cuba, overturning restrictions by former President George W. Bush's administration. The move follows efforts by President Barack Obama to improve relations with communist-run Cuba. The farm goods provision was added to legislation to fund dozens of federal agencies for the rest of the 2010 fiscal year, which ends on September 30th of next year. The CME Group announced changes to its Chicago Board of Trade ethanol futures contract yesterday to bring the contract more in line with current cash market practices. The changes, which take effect on April 1st of 2010, shorten the required loadout time for deliveries to 10 days from 17 days so buyers can receive physical supplies within the month of delivery. In addition, CME will also require the transfer of renewable identification numbers needed for compliance with the renewable fuels standard. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Researchers at the University of Illinois are working on alternatives to petroleum-based products. Todd Gleason has more on one chemical that could be made from plants.
As a chemical for industrial processes, butanol is used in everything from brake fluid to paint thinners and plastics. A University of Illinois researcher believes butanol made from plant material could displace butanol made from petroleum, and not just at the fuel pump. The fact is, says U of I's Hans Blaschak, butanol is simply too valuable to use as a liquid fuel. He's a microbiologist in the Agricultural College on the Urbana-Champaign campus. It all goes back to using butanol to make brake fluids and plastics.
So it would obviously displace petroleum, but in a different way. Okay, instead of putting it in your tank, they would take the fermentation-derived butanol and process it essentially the same way as they process it now in a normal refinery, you know, and just turn it into other products.
Blaschak has been studying microorganisms that are used in the fermentation process for over 25 years. About 10 years ago, his lab at Illinois had a breakthrough with the development of a mutant strain of soil bacterium that produces higher concentrations of butanol when added to a vat of plant byproduct. Simply put, what yeast is to the process used to create ethanol, this bacterium is to the process that results in butanol. In the Midwest, that always means corn could be used to make butanol along with about any other plant material.
Yeah, the beauty there is that it can use both 5 and 6 carbon sugar, so you're not limited. So you can use biomass, you know, which if you break down biomass, that's what you get is 5 and 6 carbon sugars. And this organism, unlike yeast, our friend yeast, which pretty much can only use 6 carbon sugars, this can use 5 carbon sugars.
It means distiller's grains, biomass, or pretty much anything that can be deconstructed to sugars can be fermented. Blaszczak says you don't have to engineer the organism like people have been doing for the last 20 years with yeast, trying to get it to use 5-carbon sugars. The original work done some 10 years ago resulted in a mutant strain of the bacterium, but Blaszczak says it came about by brute force, and while it worked, he didn't really know why it worked. His most recent research was at the genetic level. He says the next step is to take that knowledge and produce a second-generation strain by not using brute force, but very specifically making targeted genetic alterations. Blaszczak can attempt the science because the genes that cause the production of butanol have been identified. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey joining us for our look at the cash grain market. Is Matt Blisdell of the Andersons, and he is in Delphi, Indiana. Good afternoon, Matt.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Want to talk a little bit about basis. We've been having this discussion among various cash grain purchasers over the last week or two, who are all of the opinion that, in a week or so, 10 days at the outside, that they anticipate that basis levels should begin to firm. Are you in that camp too?
You know, I think at train shippers, you'll start to see that. Just in our marketplace, the VOM issue has just put enough pressure on most ethanol plants that I think that's going to go aside a little bit. Right now, what I think we'll see really is right now between the train shipper and the ethanol plant, you probably have anywhere from 15 to 20 cent basis spread. And I see that just narrowing up to maybe a dime or so. With what we have on the book and talking to most ethanol plants, you're probably looking at least to the last half of Jan until you really see our basis to firm up any. We just have enough on the books, and then also you're just not going to see basis too carried away here with just a continuing concern about VOM issues.
So we have the end of the harvest on the one hand, and the other thing I wanted to touch base on is that ethanol margins have been getting softer and ethanol prices have been declining in recent trading sessions on the Chicago Board of Trade. So, and I note also that gasoline stocks are pretty hefty. So I'm wondering, from the ethanol side, do folk, and I know they've been going pretty hard for a while now, but are they going to need the corn?
Yeah.
Short term.
What's that now?
In the short term.
I believe in the short term, we're seeing still with this drawn-out harvest, for most ethanol plants who have limited space and limited drying, this harvest has been basically a dream. Other than the quality of the crop, how the corn has came into the elevator out to the ethanol plant has just kept most guys plumb full. It just came in a timely, orderly fashion. There was really never that blitz of the last tail harvest just with the weather and everything here. So that has kept most ethanol plants filled up. Most plants in our marketplace are running limited hours. So you're probably talking, during the holiday season we'll start to see inventories dwindle down. But then the first day of January, they start their January contracts, and you'll get lines again. So I really don't see, a big push on our bases and processor bases alike until, that 10th to 15th of January.
What about your prices today?
Climbers in today at 387, Delphi beans at 1034.
Thank you very much, Matt.
Thanks, Dave.
That's Matt Blaszczak of the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana. In 2 minutes, we'll be back with a look at the agricultural weather with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. Police say they can't remember a bank robbery in the city of Monticello in at least 60 years until this morning. No one was hurt when a man holding a pistol or a semi-automatic gun walked into the First State Bank on the town square and demanded money. He ran away after he got the cash. Police described the robber as 5'9" and heavy set with olive khaki pants and a large blue hooded sweatshirt and something black covering his face. Monticello Police Chief John Miller says at least five people have already called in with tips, including someone who witnessed the holdup. The bank is open, but Monticello schools are keeping students inside for the rest of the school day. Illinois Governor Pat Quinn says he knew ahead of time that his corrections department planned to begin releasing some prisoners after just a few days behind bars, but the governor wouldn't explain today why he halted the practice after the Associated Press reported the release of hundreds of inmates, including some convicted of violent crimes. The Democrat also refused to say whether he knew the release program would include violent criminals. The governor says his corrections director had told him about the plan, which includes dropping a policy of requiring that all inmates serve at least 61 days in prison. That change makes some inmates eligible for release almost as soon as they arrive in prison. Quinn has ordered a top-to-bottom review of the unpublicized program. Governor Quinn said the state could get additional federal help with security once terrorism suspects move to a prison in northwestern Illinois. But Quinn also says that Illinois won't be intimidated by terrorists. Critics say moving terrorism suspects from Guantanamo Bay to the unused state prison in Thompson raises security questions. Some also argue Illinois should get top dollar from the federal government. One state Senate leader says Illinois should get back all the money it put into the prison, plus enough to build another. Quinn recently said Illinois would get the fair market value. A committee assigned with making sure all young people in Champaign receive equal opportunities for education holds its first meeting this afternoon. The Education Equity Excellence, or Triple E, committee was the result of a Unit 4 consent decree settlement. It includes a diverse makeup of members, including administrators, teachers, and the head of the local NAACP chapter. Another member, former Unit 4 board member Nathaniel Banks, says the district is already making progress in not only closing the achievement gap, but the number of African-American students in gifted programs. I'm Jeff Bossert.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Joining us now with a look at the agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon, Drew.
Good afternoon, Dave.
There are children wanting to know if it's going to be a white Christmas in the eastern Corn Belt next week. What can you say?
You know, I think there's a fairly good chance we might actually do that. At least a portion of the region. We have a storm system that is trying desperately to develop towards the latter part of next week in the lower parts of the Midwest. As some of the models say, it'll be a little further south than that. So we'll have to kind of keep a close monitoring on this. I would say the odds are relatively good that we'll see an expansion of the snow field across the eastern Midwest by that point in time. As far as being able to say for sure that we're going to have white Christmas all over the eastern belt, I would probably say that that may not be accomplished, but we will probably see quite a few areas there picking up on some snow.
It will be cold, though.
It will be cold, and we are looking at a new round of cooling to take place next week, and if we do get a storm system to develop in the southeastern or mid-Atlantic coastal region during the middle part of the week, we're probably going to have a pretty cold Christmas holiday with a lot of cold air coming into the central part of the country and eventually spreading across the heart of the Midwest. Energy demand during that period of time is going to be pretty strong, I think, in the middle part of the country. May not be quite ready to be impacting the eastern part of the country, but certainly the Midwest will be quite cool. So it looks like the month of December is going to go into the books as a pretty cold period of time for a big part of the Midwest. Our precipitation won't be all that great in the central and western parts of the Midwest, but if we do get a storm system going in the southeastern states, we'll probably end up with an abundance of moisture in the Ohio River Basin and possibly in the state of Ohio with less precipitation in Illinois.
Turn your attention to the western Corn Belt and focus a little bit on North Dakota, which still has quite a bit of corn in the field.
Yes, it does, and they've also picked up on some snow occasionally, and the snow is the biggest hindrance now to field work. There will not be any major storm systems that occur across that part of the country, but some additional brief periods of light snow will occur, which is just going to continue to pile up a little bit at a time. So field progress across that region is probably not going to be at best for a long little while here. I think we're going to have to turn the weather pattern around a little bit so we can get some warmer air coming into the region and melt down some of that snow in order to get back into the fields in a more aggressive manner.
Let's turn our attention to South America, where In Argentina, it's pretty much close to ideal for beans.
It really is. You know, we started off on a rocky road. There was a lot of concern about the start of the growing season in the western portions of Argentina. But for the past few weeks, we've been getting some very timely rainfall and maintaining good soil moisture in just about the entire country, and certainly in the main soybean production region. So Argentina is poised for a very good crop year this year. And probably will end up having a favorable corn crop as well as soybeans. And sunseed, though, will probably be down a little bit. In Brazil, the situation is just about as good, although we've had some excessive rain events here recently. A big part of the country is still saturated all the way down into the subsoil, and so they do need to see some drier weather to induce the best crop development potential. But it's a far cry from a crisis. The only place that's dry in Brazil is in the far northeast.
Thank you, Drew.
Have a great day.
Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And that is today's closing market report. This is Dave Dickey.